One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available. Come get up.
Beware, I live. IGN Gamescoop.
Joining me this week, I'm gonna start over.
Ah, dang.
You gotta nail the intro.
We can fuck up 10 seconds in, it's fine.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Gamescoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Dustin Javis.
Oh, Scoop.
Slarty Meva.
Whoa!
And Clam Saborn.
He sounds like a cool fantasy man.
We've got a great show for you this week. A very stable show for you this week. No sliding of the camera.
We heard your cries, the gnashing of the teeth.
Yeah. We heard there you.
Is, the thing is, the people, wailing, the thing is that now we have to go back and forth the whole time. So it's a little bit more work.
We're
going to
do it very slowly and subtly.
Yeah, it's fun.
Screaming, and one man tore his shirt off and beat his chest.
So hot.
If you want to see what we're talking about, you can check it out on the GameScoop YouTube channel.
The new home for GameScoop on YouTube, youtube.com/GameScoop. For all of you audio podcast listeners, we would love to see you on there.
A new Nauseo Vision.
Yeah. It's true. Great show for this week. We got to talk about those toys to life.
No.
Maybe they're toys to death now.
Oh, no.
That term really snuck into our lexicon, didn't it?
Toys to life.
Yeah.
It's a very, what a marketing term. I hate it when we get tricked into using.
I bet people that are listening don't even know what that means.
Marketing terms.
It means Skylanders, Disney Infinity, Lego Dimensions.
Amiibo.
We're going to talk about AAA action.
Ooh.
And what that means.
It's my favorite kind of action.
But first, we are less than a year away, I think, supposedly, from the launch of Nintendo NX.
March 2017. Yeah.
Less than a year away, and EA, which claims it is the world's number one publisher of Xbox One and PS4 games in the Western world, isn't even sure if they're going to make games for the system.
Oh, goodness gracious, Nintendo.
Not even sure about it.
Second last game was the first.
I think they just basically said nothing. I mean, they're gonna do what's best for their company. That's kind of what companies do.
The quote from EA says, they will be there for the Nintendo NX, quote, if it makes sense.
Yeah, that's a tautology. It doesn't mean anything.
That's what my ex said about our relationship, but I've been very lonely.
What it tells me is that a year, less than a year out, they don't have a game yet. Right?
Yeah.
So, that's...
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like...
That's a good point. They won't have any launch games, likely.
I mean, that. I
but
mean,
remember what they did for Wii U? They ported a bunch of their launch games.
Which I think could totally happen. Like, we had Mass Effect 3 on the Wii U. We can see Andromeda.
Yeah, but it's like there was great... Like, the Mass Effect 3 port was awesome, and the Batman port was actually really good, too. But, like, you can't have year-old games.
Yeah.
You can't carry a system with
Assassin's Creed, they did that, too.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed was pretty good, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things most of what we heard about NX has been rumors and speculation, but one of the big things have been that Nintendo is trying to create an architecture that is more welcoming to third parties than the Wii U was.
I hope so.
Something that seems to be more akin to the...
You think that's what everybody would be doing.
Yeah, you would hope so. So, honestly, I do think... I just think it's too early for EA to say, and I also think it's too early for a third party to. What are you doing?
I'll tell you after the show.
After the show? Oh, this is going to be good.
Do I got like cream cheese off?
No.
And so I honestly do think that I think there will be EA games at launch.
You think there will?
Yes. And I think it'll be cool.
Justin's still laughing at you.
What is happening?
I'll stop.
So do you have something to share with the rest of GameScoop?
No, I'm fine. I'm sorry.
How about your soda? You want to share that?
I'll pull it together.
Have you been drinking?
I've heard this opinion shared before, and I pretty much agree with it at this point, that third party doesn't really mean a lot for Nintendo. They're a software developer.
Whoa. Sam's saying Nintendo isn't interested in third-party support, right?
Yeah. They're a software developer that makes the most money off of selling their own software, first of all, which they make a ton of. And they also, of course, make a little bit of money off of hardware still, which is amazing.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, no one's going to buy that console without third-party support.
Well, no.
No one bought the Wii U.
No.
13 million people will buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, maybe 10.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nintendo traditionally did have great third-party supports, so it's only in like recent years.
Before third-party support even existed.
Yeah,
but not that recent. I mean, the N64, like, it's been kind of a problem. Like,
huge third-party support for NES and Super Nintendo.
Yeah,
less so, but still quite significant for N64 and GameCube. Yeah. Huge third-party support for the Wii.
Yeah. I mean, GameCube had some amazing exclusive. I mean, yeah. Resident Evil 4 debuted on the GameCube, yeah. Which is crazy to think of.
There's those Capcom
Beautiful Joe
5.
Too. Yeah, Piano 3, Beautiful Joe.
Yeah, for sure.
You can't name any others.
But, you know, but even those are exclusives. Like, I'm just talking about, like, you can't have 7. A console that's a success that doesn't have, you know, Call of Duty and Assassin's Creed and Madden and FIFA and, like, all those things that people play video games on that appear on every platform. You can't have them appear everywhere except this one console.
I think every one of those games is going to be on NX. Every one of those games you just mentioned.
Hope so.
Let me take you back to 2011.
Say 2011.
When EA promised an unprecedented relationship with Nintendo and the Wii U. This relationship blossomed into a grand total of 4 games for the Wii U.
That was unprecedented.
Mass Effect 3, Need for Speed Most Wanted, FIFA 13, and Madden 13.
Wait,
and that was it.
What about 3DS and DS?
This is talking about the Wii U.
Wait, okay. So... They didn't Madden have any 3DS 14, games 15, 16 never came off.
They didn't
Wii.
Even bother porting their annualized sports games.
They're
the
still
Wii
on PS3, but not Wii.
It's insane that something like Plants vs. Garden Warfare isn't on Wii.
Yeah, Plants vs. Zombies.
It's like a family shooter. That's they didn't bother porting to a family system.
Mm-hmm.
Oh dang.
Yeah, but you can play Pocket Card Jockey.
You can play
Pocket Card. Oh man, that game's so good.
Not on the Wii.
We're not talking about 3DS. We're talking about Wii U. 3DS is fine.
Yeah, Pocket
Stay on target.
Stay on target.
Here's Damie's worry.
You can name your horse.
Damie's worry. Hashtag Damie's worry.
This is a new segment I'm piloting. Damie's worry that the NX just isn't going to have the third-party support that it needs, just like the Wii U didn't.
Yeah. That's my worry as well.
I think Nintendo's going to learn from that.
It's not Justy's worry.
No, I share Damie's worry.
Okay, good.
Damie's worry for Justin is that the
Damie's worry squared.
Yeah.
It's okay, though, because that won't affect all the great Nintendo games that they're still going to make for it.
Well, yeah. Hopefully there's enough of them, though. There aren't enough of them for the Wii U.
No.
So.
Well, actually, I'd say there's enough Nintendo games for the Wii U.
You guys,
what is going on?
The giggle system over
flirting
here.
With
I'm
me.
Not giggling.
He's flirting with me.
I think there's a whole conspiracy to make Marty more insecure at work. And Justin's been planning this for a long time.
Andrew's the insecure one, not Marty.
Yeah.
I'm the alpha.
Not anymore.
He's the beta.
That's changing. Changing with each giggle.
Yeah, also this week, EA does, when it released its financial report and announced that Battlefront has sold, 12, 14 million copies.
Yeah.
EA says it's the number one publisher of Xbox One and PS4 games in the Western world.
Ooh,
I don't know if that means based on number of copies sold, revenue, profit, but this is what they say.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely believe it. With
Even over Activision Blizzard?
Yeah, but stuff, all the sports games, you have Battlefield, Battlefront, Titanfall, Plants vs. Zombies, BioWare.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Unraveled.
So who is it in the Eastern Hemisphere? Like,
Gung-Ho or...
Activision Blizzard, maybe?
Well, I don't know.
The number one publisher of Xbox One and PS4 games in the East?
Oh, I would imagine still EA.
Square, Capcom?
I mean, it might just be Sony.
Oh, with Monster Hunter? Except that game's
not... Capcom, come on, Damon.
Capcom!
Yeah, I mean, yes, Monster Hunter is a popular series, but think of...
But it's a handheld. It's not PS4, Xbox One.
Yeah, you're right. I stand corrected. Let it go, Marty. I already apologized.
The insecurity is rising.
You want to be on this podcast, Marty? Do you want to be on it?
speaking of the Wii U, GameScoop fan Mike Prutchik has been kind enough to share some codes for Wii U games.
Oh, dang.
He bought that humble Nintendo bundle, but apparently couldn't use the Wii U codes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games.
Are you going to hold them up?
No, I'm going to read them out. I'm going to read out the code, but here's the thing. I'm not going to read the last character. There's a bit of a...
How long are these codes?
I'm gamifying it. They look like they're about 16 digits. So, it's going to be fine.
This is like NBC in 2009.
It's going to be fine. What, do you have a better way to give out these codes?
I'd hold them up to the screen.
And just let them try and magnify it?
Yeah. What if we had some sort of web site to put them on?
That doesn't help the audio listeners.
Oh, that's true. Well, maybe they should go to youtube.com/gamescoop and subscribe.
Probably should do that. This first game is for Affordable Space Adventures.
He's going anyway.
Yes.
Damie's problem. Solved.
This is the plan. Affordable Space Adventures for Wii U. If you want to download this game for free, just take down this code. B0L8F3FC1WS8259. And you figure out the last digit. See, that wasn't so hard. Smart asses.
Just 11 of these to go.
I'm not going to do them all at once.
Oh, was that it?
Yeah, we're done.
Oh.
Now we're moving on.
Oh, I legitimately thought you were like 10
Is it time for 20 questions?
No, it's time for Toys to Death.
Toys to death.
The Toys to Life genre has been toyed to death.
Oh, wow.
Disney Infinity has been canceled, and Disney is getting out of publishing games entirely.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah, it's
Avalanche
actually
is being shut down. Not the Just Cause Avalanche, the other Avalanche.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, surely one has Avalanche Games and Avalanche Studios.
Studios and games. Yeah,
so there will be two more upcoming sets for Disney Infinity, including characters for Alice Through the Looking Glass and then a Finding Dory playset in June. But no Rogue One playset. We're not going to get that.
Yeah, that's such a bummer.
But I think this opens the door to LEGO Star Wars stuff appearing in LEGO Dimensions.
In Marvel.
That was going to be one of my questions. Do we think this will mean happy days for Skylanders and LEGO Dimensions? There's less competition out there?
No, I think it's high tide raises all ships, that kind of thing. I think Disney pulling out of this is, I think, indicative of Toys to Life in general.
They're using what's called the pull and pray method.
That's about babies.
Yeah.
Disney Infinity were the highest selling figures in the Toys to Life genre. And the fact that they were the highest selling ones and that they went out of business, I think...
Well, they didn't go out of business. We don't know that. For some reason, it got shut down.
They pulled out of the business.
I think maybe Disney,
not for failings on
exactly.
That.
Like Disney is such a massive company. They own Marvel Comics. They own the Marvel Studios. They own Star Wars. Mm-hmm. They own ABC and ESPN. Like this is Disney. So someone at some executive level made a decision that the video game business just didn't make sense for Disney to be in that capacity. We don't want to be in the business of making and publishing our own games. We'll just let other people make Star Wars and Marvel's games. And my theory is that Disney and Infinity could have totally been successful and profitable, but it got swept up
totally
as part of that bigger decision to, hey, let's just let EA make Star Wars games and someone else make Pixar
games. You have to imagine that Disney Infinity, it's such an ambitious game.
Yeah.
Like each game has seven studios working on it with Avalanche and Sumo and Ninja Theory. And these games are so much bigger and deeper than you would imagine from a game like this.
It was a very different beast than Skylanders.
Yeah, totally. Which is a bummer because Avalanche is like those games have gotten progressively better and better, and those games are a ton of fun. And to see hundreds of people get let go at Avalanche,
it's understandable to feel bad about this or think this is sad or think this spells doom. But what if this is just an example of a smart business move? Maybe Number Crunchers at Disney is just like, hey, this bubble's about to burst. We jumped in this industry for a few years. We made good money out of it. Now it's just time to get out.
Yeah. I mean, that's entirely possible, too.
I mean, I didn't get a chance to look up the stats before Scoop, but my hazy, fuzzy memory is that Skylander sales were down year over year.
Yes, I believe so.
They had some layoffs, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Toys R Us.
And it's still, I think it's still going strong, and Skylander still sells and, makes hundreds of millions of dollars, but I think that the peak of that series is over, too. The thing that probably hasn't peaked yet is Amiibo, and who knows about LEGO.
Yeah, I mean, Amiibo's interesting because it doesn't really have software production costs. Like, some Amiibo functionality is built into as tertiary parts of different games, but there's no amiibo game.
There's no amiibo game. I think it's really interesting that there
was amiibo party.
There were four.
That's true.
There were four Toys to Life products, and all four had like a credible claim to the throne.
Four?
Yeah, with Lego.
There was Lego, Amiibo, Skylanders, and Disney Infinity. Yeah. So Disney Infinity had that, you know, Disney brands that are, you know, some of the biggest brands on Earth. But then Lego is obviously a hugely beloved and popular toy, you know, and has that developer pedigree behind it. Skylanders was sort of the first comer and sort of established a scene, and then Nintendo was doing their unique thing with Amiibo. And like, all four, it's just not often that you see, like, Guitar Hero and Rock Band are like two sides of the same coin. But I thought it was really interesting that Toys to Life had these four very different takes on the same thing, mm-hmm. and all had like a credible claim to say that they were the reason that, you know, they were the one that should come out on top.
Yeah. Well, maybe we shouldn't be too surprised. Disney had already announced they won't be at E3.
Right.
You know, yep. So they were.
And they announced there was no Infinity 4.0.
Or at least not this year. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What about Amiibo? What is going on?
There's still Amiibo that haven't come out.
Yeah, there's still Cloud. Cloud still hasn't come out. I think
the thing is, like, they're tied to releases, as you were saying.
Yeah.
Like, there's like a new Animal Crossing game, so there's a bunch of new Animal Crossing.
What was the new Animal Crossing game?
Happy Home Designer. Then Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival.
That's true. There was Amiibo Festival.
I think the future of Amiibo is going to be pretty clear once we see what the NX is.
I think Amiibo is deeply baked into that console.
Yeah, or at least the what's it called, NFC? Near Field Communication. Mm-hmm. And so if Nintendo wants to double down on this, and then maybe NX does launch with a proper Amiibo game. And it's like, hey, all those toys you've been collecting for 2 years, now you can put them in this cool game.
Which would be presumably like a Skylanders or like a...
Yeah, in my mind, it's something like Skylanders.
Like, Infinity was really interesting because it actually, you could scan in play areas instead of just characters.
I feel like it would be somewhere in between the two of those in terms of ambition.
I mean, they've really only scratched the surface of what Amiibo could be. I also think they tested the limits with... I actually, for a long time, I collected every single Amiibo. I had all of them, and I still have 40-some on my desk. But then I got out of the scene when they announced all the obscure Animal Crossing ones. Like, I don't need the giraffe with the sewing machine Amiibo. Like, I don't, like, no one cares about that stuff. And I think it's based on nothing, but my conspiracy theory is that it was Nintendo testing how far can we really push this in terms of, like, obscure characters, stuff that's maybe not super desirable or in, like, the public eye. But, like, people will buy KK Slider and people will buy Tom Nook. But then they're like, let's release these other eight just to see if we can get away with a really obscure, weird Amiibo.
Nintendo hasn't even really made its own Toys to Life game.
No, not yet.
Right? Like, not a game where the whole mechanic is putting an Amiibo on a platform and playing with them.
There's a lot of the board games have integration like that, but like it's...
I like that
Mario
approach.
Mario Party was really tied to Amiibo.
Yeah.
I like that you buy one figure and then it's going to do something for you in like eight Nintendo games. I think that's super rad. Like, that's a really clever and cool way to approach it. I think that the Animal Crossing stuff didn't work. And those are the Amiibo that you see, like, deeply discounted. Like, you can buy them half off and stuff, and they're still trying to unload them, where other ones are still crazy rare.
Mm-hmm. Remember, it was back in 2010, maybe, when Disney canceled that very promising-looking Pirates of the Caribbean action
Armada? Yeah. Armada of the Damned.
Yeah, it was like, I had played it at preview events, and it seemed very far along, and it seemed really cool, and then they just canceled it.
Yep.
And so, that studio put out the Tron game. Oh, and then they closed down that studio, although their name escapes me.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
If you put a microchip inside a toy, they call it Toys to Life, and we have this new food machine here that has food with microchips inside of it, which is Food to Life.
Food to Life.
Food to Life. Mm-hmm.
I like that marriage of, I think Toys to Life is a really powerful thing. I don't think it's going to go away, because I think the idea of, like, I have a little girl, I have a daughter, and she plays with little toys. The idea of her playing with a toy and using her imagination, you know, but then later being able to interact with it in a television and, you know, have it be this rich, interactive multimedia experience, but then still take it with her in the car, to the mall, or to grandma's house, or wherever, and just play with it on the stairs or on the floor that's like a kid's dream, kind of.
You know who did,
like,
that one? Connectimals.
Yeah, sort of, but they didn't have the figure.
They had plushes for Connectimals.
Oh, they have plushes. See, yeah. I only remember the digital versions. Yeah. But that's, like, crazy cool. And, like, there's a version of that with, you know, Captain America, these other characters, that's just going to end up taking over the world, mm-hmm. you know, the world of children's world in another decade or so, I'm sure.
Sam.
Toys to VR.
Mm-hmm. Lay some Disney pinball knowledge on us.
Oh, there's so many.
Yeah? A lot of Disney.
We need more specific.
Really? The most recent one would be Tron. Tron Legacy.
That was a good table.
Yeah.
Had a cool...
And of course, I guess you want to count Marvel stuff, but I mean, there's
Avengers, like Disney properties, like,
Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, they didn't.
Mickey Mouse.
There's
Has there
a
been
lot
a Mickey
of
Mouse table?
No. There's a lot of animal, like, well, there would be, like, fantasy games that, like, kind of look like Alice in Wonderland, but not the Disney one. Yeah, they're not. They're
Was there a Force Awakens
involved, but Tron. Nope, not yet. But we suspect that somebody might have that license. And, of course, there's Star Wars and Marvel stuff.
Mm-hmm. Of course. All right, who's a fan of AAA action? Anyone here?
No. I am, Damon.
You are?
Yeah.
Like in real life?
Are you a fan of AAA action, Sam?
Just in general?
I like lowercase a action.
Hideo Kojima has given a few snippets of information about what his first game since leaving Konami will be like. And he says, I won't say it's an open world title, but those that enjoy playing today's AAA titles, such as The Division and Uncharted, will be able to play it smoothly.
Okay.
When it gets announced.
So one of those is an open world, the one isn't. That's pretty interesting.
Mixed messages.
When it gets announced, some may think it's not as way out as they had expected, but I'm sure they'll understand once they play it, the genre is action.
Okay.
AAA action.
Okay.
Well, there you go. I guess the thing.
Do you think it'll have S rankings?
I hope so, man. The Japanese love their S rankings.
Yeah.
You think you're doing so well, I'm just A ranking everything. Then one mission, you get an S.
AAA.
And you say,
A++.
Now I got to go back and do these other 15 missions again.
What do you think the original thinking behind that was? Because in school, A plus is like the best you can get. And then what does S stand
I think schools have different things there.
I don't know, what does S stand
for? Superior, maybe? Is superb?
Yeah.
Yeah,
superb. Superb, my son. If you apologize to the game for being so good.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Super A.
Division, even though Division's open world and Uncharted's not, what those two have in common is that their core mechanic is shooting. That's the core, like, way that you interact with the game.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what he's communicating, like, you know, Metal Gear is not shooting. It's stealth and traversal and all of that. So I think he's indicating that it's probably going to be a very shooting-heavy experience.
More action than stealth.
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, we don't know anything. He has partnered with Sony for this game, is that right?
Do you think it'll have eye patches?
Have eye patches.
100%.
He was talking a little bit more about the logo, too.
Yeah, he says...
The logo?
The logo of the studio.
For his studio.
Oh, it's insane.
Has a hint. It says a hint about what the game is.
And he's also like, that head also has a body, and you're going to be surprised when you see what the body's like.
He said this?
Yeah.
What head?
Is it a dog body?
The logo is that head. Oh, okay. It's almost like a knight with a robot with a skeleton. And then he said that the logo also has a body. You'd be surprised. So I think it is a dog. I think it's that head on the body of a wiener dog.
Guys, it's clearly a two-legged mech of some sort.
All right.
It'll probably have mechs, and it'll probably have eye patches.
Most likely dogs.
And dogs. Dags.
Dags?
What about e-cigars?
As long as I can vape in Hideo Kojima's next game, then I'm very happy.
Vape, 80s vape too. That was before vaping was even vaping.
Vape Nation.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us.
What's up, Big Tony Style?
Email address, gamescoop@IGN.com. Just like, sorry, Sam, ruined your thunder, Big Tony Style.
Oh, man, you just sent me on a roller coaster there.
That was great.
Big Tony Style says, with the recent release of the Infinite War, Call of Duty Infinite War, and Battlefield trailers, I find it fascinating how much attention game trailers get. We are at the point where there are release dates for a game's trailer. So my question is, with so much attention put on game trailers, what does one need to capture the attention of the Scoop crew?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Damon.
Yeah.
I saw you tweet this out earlier today. Couldn't agree more. It's why we're friends.
Yeah, so...
Stop sucking up.
Yeah, I tweeted that...
It has specifically, to have Godzilla in it?
What I'm looking for a trailer is Godzilla. Specifically with indie games, what I want to see is gameplay right off the bat. Because this happens a lot. People like email us about it. Hey, check out my indie game, and I'll go and check out their trailer. It's something I haven't ever heard of.
Yeah.
I check out the trailer, and it's just like text.
There's
still image.
Soft
text.
Music playing, and you see a feather, and
still
then some
image,
text fades
text.
In.
Like, what is that? What am I doing?
A minute has gone by, and I have no idea what your game looks like.
What about Super Russian Roulette?
Oh, that's true.
That was a little.
The very first thing I do, on a YouTube trailer is skip to 30 seconds.
That's actually when the gameplay shows. Go right to the gameplay. Something like Enter the Gungeon. The split second I see that game, I know I want to play it.
Yeah.
So just show me the game. Anyway, he's talking about big. I think more like AAA trailers. Like
I want to hear more covers of David Bowie songs.
I want to hear fewer covers of David Bowie songs.
Fewer covers of anything. Contemporary covers that are a little bit more rockin'. Yeah. Don't like that.
No. Yeah, it's interesting.
But they're cheaper to license than the original.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I guess you can only play that. What is it called? The technical license?
The juxtaposition between how people reacted to the Battlefield reveal trailer compared to how they reacted to the Call of Duty trailer is insane.
Yeah.
And I think I completely agree. I think the Call of Duty trailer was too long. I think the first half was sort of boring.
Yeah.
And the second half I thought was pretty cool in space. Whereas the Battlefield trailer was much shorter and I think did a much better job of showing me a little bit and then making me want more.
Yeah.
Like, because it was in engine, but it wasn't, they didn't show, like, what the actual game is going
to
look like.
It's like, look at this train, look at that horse, what does that mean?
That looks amazing, that looks cool, that flamethrower looks cool, that trench looks cool. And so.
Look at that shovel.
Yeah, I left at E3, I want to play, if I had only had time to play one of them, I want to play Battlefield.
Remember that Halo 5 trailer that had nothing to do with Halo 5?
Yeah.
The one in the.
It was like Master Chief is walking,
he's wearing a poncho over his armor.
That was before they had a game. Like, hey,
that's what I like my trailers to be like.
A good trailer needs to evoke it, needs to plant an idea in your brain without like showing you the whole thing. Like if you were to have a Star Wars game and you show like one shot of Hoth, like, you're like, oh man, we're going to Hoth, but I don't need to see like 30 seconds of you on Hoth. Like I like now that's how you build hype, and then you have something to build on later when you show the game off in more detail.
I was just watching Raiders of the Lost Ark last weekend, and then I watched the original theatrical trailer. And theatrical trailers back then basically just took like every 10 minutes just a clip from the movie and just strung them back to back and just tell the story.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, it's like Indiana Jones fights the Nazis and melts their faces. And then it shows it. It's like then they put the Ark away in a room forever. Who's working on it? Top men.
Yeah, people complain about trailers giving away the movies now, but like it was the same or if not worse 50 years ago.
Oh, it was just the worst. Yeah. It was absolutely
70s movie
everything given
are incredible.
Away.
And I cannot believe you said 50 years ago, and I was about to correct you, but 40 years ago. That's depressing.
Even like trailers for like horror movies, like the trailer for The Blob in the 50s tells the entire arc of that story.
Yeah.
Which is a great story arc. Blob eats stuff.
And then gets frozen at the end, gets shipped off to the Antarctic.
Yeah,
spoilers.
What a great movie.
I would say in general, I don't get excited for video game trailers very often. Just because for AAA games, they rarely show gameplay. There's actually, the way the marketing schedule for a game goes, their debut trailer is just like a cinematic trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then farther down the line, there will be a gameplay trailer.
Yeah.
They call it a gameplay trailer because it actually shows gameplay.
Yeah.
It's
like,
well, this is...
Well, the first one sets the mood.
Yeah.
People really like the cinematic trailers, though, and some of them really stand out, like the Dead Island one.
The Dead Island one, there was a Division one from a couple years ago at E3 where it was showing how the world was changing without the characters in it.
If they fell off in later years, but the Assassin's Creed trailers always used to be so incredible and just great mood pieces with great music choices.
Yeah. I thought the Syndicate reveal trailer was really good.
If you get mad at cinematic trailers, think about the live action cinematic trailers. Okay. Those don't tell you anything about the game.
Yeah,
well, Call of Duty does that a lot, right? They hire, like, celebrities or comedians or models to, like, just be in their live action commercial.
I want more playable trailers. Like
playable
video
trailers.
Game PT.
PT.
Yeah, that was cool.
Oh, I thought you were joking, but you were being serious.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Like, very few games can do that, but I think as a means of...
Well, it worked for that game, right?
Well, as a means of revealing and hyping up a product, I don't think anything's been as effective as that.
That day in the office was insane.
I remember I was in Gamescom at the time, and I went to bed, and then I woke up, and I went to bed, and the email chain was like,
everyone's screaming.
Hey, we're going to start playing PT, and I woke up, and it was just like, silent. And I'm like, what happened? How long have I been asleep?
Okay, wait, back up. What happened? That's the email thread where you're like, I need to go back and read all these. I can't just skip.
Something big happens every time I go abroad.
But it was crazy because I think it was John Ryan was the first one. We couldn't figure out. No one on the internet knew how to beat the trick.
Yeah,
it's all
he
obscure.
Got through it all.
And then we're like, he's like, what? What?
And then it shows the guy from The Walking Dead at the end.
Yeah.
What is going on? Is this Walking Dead? It's Silent Hill? What?
I'm really excited for Silent Hills.
That's bad news, Marty.
Uh-oh. Is there a feature on the side I should read?
Here's a code for Shantae and the Pirates.
That game is great.
It is great.
So we're going to give away a great game. Be stoked about it. Shantae and the Pirate's Curse for Wii U. Here's a code for it. B0L7T9QXFDX9FH1. You guess the last character.
And now it's time for Video Game 20 Questions.
And now... it's time for Video Game 20 Questions.
I like the idea that Damon was planning on reading off all those codes, but then we like beat him into submission.
But then he's like, oh, I got him back around. They all love that segment. Ah, I'm going to throw one more.
Yeah.
Craig used to do that on NBC back in like 2010. He'd read off these codes, and Scott Bromley and I and Jack would shout out numbers and letters during it to gamify it.
You're right.
Oh, and Craig would get furious.
Yeah, he doesn't like you.
So if you're listening, Craig,
he's not.
He's
definitely not listening.
27. 64.
Our video game 20 questions suggestion this week comes from Gabriel. Gabriel. The guessing may begin.
Gabriel Knight?
Now.
I think it's Pokemon Gold.
Should we ask it if it has angels in it?
Nah.
That's a Gabriel joke. Gabriel is an angel.
Do you jump? Is there jumping in this game?
There's not a jump button. Say that.
Oh, dang.
I bet it's Zelda.
Yeah, I bet it's Zelda 2. Not Zelda 2, Zelda also.
Right.
Zelda 2.
Was this game released before?
Except that has jumping in.
Before. Yeah, that's the only one it can't be.
That's the only one.
And Link's Awakening. Was this game released before January 1st, 2000?
Yes.
Before January 1st, sorry, your turn.
You can ask it.
January 1st, 1990.
I'll take the back five questions.
You're asking if it was released before January 1st, 1990?
Yeah.
No.
We got a 90s game. Only 90s kids.
How great would it be if the person that wrote in chose a game that was released on January 1st?
Oh.
You got to find one of those.
That'd be a dingus. Was this game on the Super Nintendo?
No.
Oh, man. I thought we had it.
Was this game of the PlayStation and Nintendo 64 generation?
No.
Dang. Wait.
It's probably a Genesis
game. Five questions.
Or it could be...
Genesis, PC, or Game Boy.
Dreamcast.
Late Dreamcast. I don't know. What's the best way to narrow this down without burning a bunch of questions?
I guess...
Was this a Genesis game?
No.
Crap.
Was this a handheld game?
Yeah. No.
Okay. So yeah, it's maybe Dreamcast, 1999
could
Dreamcast
be PC.
Or PC.
Does this game have sequels?
Yes.
This game PC game.
Yes.
There we go. Took us too long, but we got there.
So the thing that comes to mind is Doom, but Doom released on Super Nintendo.
What are the things that brought you to have no jump button and it's on PC?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was your first question? No, that was a jump F.
Is this game in 3D?
Whoa.
No.
Is Doom in 3D?
Yeah.
That's 10.
F. Would you call Doom a 3D game?
Don't.
That doesn't count as a question.
You're right. I would probably say, yeah, you're moving in 3D space. Yeah.
Sure.
So wait, did you say yes or no?
I said this game is not 3D.
But he said, man, no.
2D PC game with no jump button.
I mean, it could be a strategy game.
Yeah. And it got
like
sequels.
Like SimCity.
So StarCraft.
Yeah, StarCraft, SimCity. No, it's not
SimCity. Is it a strategy game?
No.
Okay. So that wipes out
that whole
thing.
This could be Diablo. Is this a Blizzard game?
No.
Wow, that was specific.
Yeah, but that could have been StarCraft or...
No, but we knew it wasn't a strategy game.
Just eliminated it.
Lost Vikings.
That was on
this game, Rock and Roll.
So it has sequels.
Yeah.
It's a PC game from the 90s. It's not SimCity.
It's not a strategy game.
Not a strategy game, not a Blizzard game. You don't jump. Well, you maybe jump, but not with a button.
Yeah, I mean, it could be an action game. Should we ask about setting?
What about
like swords or guns type stuff?
Is the developer still in business?
No.
Oh, dang.
But it had sequels.
That's interesting.
So we don't have a perspective yet.
No, but we know it's 2D. Yeah.
I don't know. It's either 2D or it's 2D.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm with you.
Should we ask if it's sci-fi or fantasy?
Like commanding. Well, but it's not strategy. Yeah, I would narrow that. Yeah.
Is it a sci-fi game?
No.
Is it a fantasy game?
Are you talking? What kind of fantasy are you talking about?
You tell me.
Are you asking if it's like a Lord of the Rings style fantasy game?
Yeah, because that's the kind of like dungeon crawler, like Diablo stuff that I would
it's
call
not.
Fantasy.
Okay. That's 15.
But it has another type of fantasy. He wouldn't have asked that question. He wouldn't have asked that question if it was GTA.
Hey, this could be a LucasArts, this could be an adventure game. Point and click adventure game.
This could
game.
Totally be a point and click adventure game.
Is this an adventure game?
Yes.
Ooh.
Nailed it.
So is that, that
okay,
leaves
so we got
us
four questions.
That leaves us with like Monkey Island.
And the company's not around.
And there are sequels.
Oh yeah, so it's LucasArts.
Yeah, it's probably Day of the Tentacle.
Day of the Tentacle.
Day of the Tentacle or Monkey Island.
Yeah.
Not Full Throttle, not
Yeah. Not Grim Fandango.
Oh, I mean, so should wait, we narrow it down to LucasArts?
If it's fantasy, no, it's definitely going to be Monkey Island, just the way he based his fantasy.
Well, it's not sci-fi, so it's not Day of the Tentacle.
Yeah. Is this game about pirates?
Yes.
Sweet. Let's go with...
Is this the first game in a series?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go with A Boy and His Blob.
Does this game have jelly beans?
No.
They're not jelly beans.
He didn't count it. Yep. We got a freebie. We finally got a freebie.
Are you gonna guess the game?
Is the game Escape from Monkey Island?
No.
No, the first Monkey Island.
That's not what it's called.
No.
What's the first one?
What is it called? Justin, this is all on you.
No, it's not on me.
Yes, it is.
Why?
Sam and I can't answer.
Why? What? Yeah, you can. I don't remember the name of the first one. Answer. I thought the first one was Escape. Is Escape the sequel? Oh, The Curse. The Curse of Monkey Island.
Wait.
I don't think the first one is called The Curse of Monkey Island.
It's
Monkey Island 1.
What's the name?
It's either Escape or Curse. Why am I not able to think of this?
I don't know. I've never played these games. Could it be a monkey ball?
It's not.
Wait.
It's not called Escape From. That wasn't ever the name of a Monkey Island game.
Am I thinking of Escape from L.A.?
This game is the first word of this game.
Well, this is a new
another
problem.
Another word for a spell that
no,
you'd put on
I'm not
spell.
Letting him get us. I'm not letting him allow us to lose on a technicality. The first Monkey Island game, Monkey Island 1.
Secret of Monkey Island.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Woo! What's Escape from Monkey Island?
That's one of them, isn't it?
I don't think so.
Is that like that the third or fourth
great.
One?
That was
the
good
Secret
moment.
Of Monkey Island.
No,
yes.
Tales of Monkey Island.
And it was a 1990 game.
Ones. Ooh,
so you were right on the cusp there.
That was good.
And it wasn't apparently LucasArts. It was Lucasfilm Games.
Yeah.
Before it was LucasArts, I guess.
Yeah, we ran into that the other day.
Man, we went down to the wire on that one.
Well, yeah. I mean, but we had it honed in around 16.
Did we?
Yeah.
We couldn't even think of the name of the game.
Yeah, but I mean,
you got there.
I would have filed an official protest.
You would have
with the commissioner if you would have given that.
Would you 20 questions on why you were laughing at me earlier?
Once the show ends.
Okay. Before we go this week, what are we playing?
I just finished Uncharted 4.
Yep.
Thought it was incredible. It's my second favorite game of this generation.
After The Witness.
After The Witness. And I don't want to. I'm not going to go into detail because
you can't spell Uncharted without chunt.
That's true. Chunts up with that.
I never realized that.
The ending I found immensely satisfying and just really, really excellent. Hmm. And that specifically, like the whole game was great, but it ends on such a high note that I was very happy.
Also, topically, I don't think this is a spoiler, there's a Monkey Island reference Easter egg.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I don't think I caught
We're going to have to bleep that out. Such a spoiler.
And so now that I finished that, I don't know what I'm going to start. I'll play more Pocket Jockey, I guess.
Yeah.
Pocket Jockey.
Pocket Card Jockey.
Yeah, Pocket Card Jockey.
I also finished... Uncharted, I think it's a really great game. I think it's the most gorgeous console game ever made. I think the acting's incredible.
Maybe
I think the writing's
most gorgeous
incredible.
Game ever made. I mean, yeah, is it prettier than any PC games you've played?
I don't know, there's some terrifying PC. I saw something running in 4K that was probably the prettiest thing.
Yeah, I mean, PC's weird because there's stuff that's technically just like you don't even understand how it's possible, but just artistically and just the vistas that you're seeing, it's incredible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I liked it a lot. And I'm excited. I'm going to play Doom this weekend.
Oh, yeah, good.
Oh, we're all going to play Doom this weekend. It's out on Friday.
On a Friday. We're getting it Friday.
That's so weird. It's out at midnight on Friday.
Yeah, I'm inadvertently hyped for that game. Like, they didn't show us anything because of all those cinematic trailers.
Yeah.
And then now it looks really cool. Mm-hmm. I've been playing Uncharted as well and Pocket Card Jockey. Mm-hmm. I really like Uncharted. I think the conversations are the boring adult things I want to hear now.
I am also playing Uncharted.
Though I don't mind hearing those conversations over vintage PS1 games.
Yeah, I think that... I mean, I don't know if that's a spoiler at this point either, but I just think the
it's
game
in the
is
the first 2 hours of the game.
It's very clever. It's very fun.
Yeah,
it's really smart, beautiful. Like you said,
yeah.
I'm in like chapter 5. And
I thought I wouldn't like Drake's brother's character Sam from the trailers and from everything I saw in preview, but the way they develop him, he's totally likable.
His characterization's great, and the characterization of the villains is fantastic, and the acting is incredible.
And also the writing, and then the performances by.
It's on par with like a Netflix series of this era right now. It's so well put together and acted. And then I really like the tense scene of an auction, which you should play it just for that.
Yeah.
There's this funny twist on like this auction going on, and it makes you feel really tense for this stupid little action sequence. It's really great.
Yeah.
You haven't gotten there.
I wonder what happens if you fail that.
It's really funny. Miranda was playing with it, and she talked to me about it.
Interesting.
Was that the butt-touching thing?
I'll tell you about it after the podcast.
Okay.
We're going to give away one more Wii U game, but I'm going to let you guys participate. Should we give away a code for Freedom Planet, Swords and Soldiers 2, or Runbow?
Are those three games? Runbow's the only one I know.
Freedom Planet.
You say you. We got two votes for Rumbo. And one vote for Freedom Play.
You got Runboed.
Because it's mostly the word rainbow, which Runboed likes rainbows.
Here's a code for Runbo on Wii, which I think is like a 9-player multiplayer game,
yeah.
Something like that.
Ten
players.
That doesn't sound right.
It is true. The code is B0LPFH432B7YJS4. You guessed the last character.
Wait, was you a letter or was you a call?
I don't know. I don't know.
Was the character set like A through Z and 1 through 10 for?
Oh yeah, I guess I should. It is only gonna be a letter.
0 through 9.
It's only a letter or a number. For all this, yeah. Happy hunting. No, good hunting. I've been watching Battlestar. They don't say happy hunting. That is all the scoops we have for you this week. If you haven't subscribed to the new GameScoop YouTube channel yet, make sure you do so. YouTube.com/GameScoop. Thank you, Dustin. Thank you, Slarty. Thank you, Clam. My name is David. This is IG GameScoop. And we're out.
Damey.
Slarty sounds so gross.
Slarty.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.